of the interesting things that I've come across is when you read the stories of some of the great saints, and indeed of so many prophetic figures across the pages of history, almost inevitably, as you go through their story, you discover some great darkness that confronted them, some shadow that, as it were, hung over their life. For example, in the last few years, when the diary of Blessed Mother Teresa of Calcutta have come to light, we've seen that for so much of her life, Teresa struggled greatly simply to believe, even though she was so widely acclaimed as a living saint, even though she was in such demand to speak at the United Nations and in front of presidents and kings and queens, even though her work among the poorest of the poor in India was so highly valued. She struggled at times simply to acknowledge the existence of God. Other saints also, like Saint Thérèse of Lisieux, she also went through this amazing period of darkness where she couldn't pray. She couldn't believe. She found it impossible. There was such a thick cloud around her. And yet, these saints continued, like so many others who are afflicted with grief, who experience physical trials and turmoils, who are in the depths of suffering because of illness or disease, who experience incredible personal tragedies in their life. The death of a child, the death of a loved one, whatever it is. The difference, I guess, that marks these people and establishes their greatness is not the tragedy, but the way that they deal with that. The way that they find life through that tragedy, in the midst of that darkness. And I guess that's what St. Paul is struggling with in our reading today. Paul had a lot of reasons to boast. He had an incredible ministry from the Lord. In the previous chapter, chapter 11 of 2 Corinthians, in the 33 verses of that, in the first 7 verses of chapter 12, he goes through this long list of experiences and all the different things that have marked and characterized his life, all the way that the Lord has blessed him and given him incredible gifts and allowed him to suffer. But he says, so that he couldn't boast because of these incredible visions that he'd received, you know, that he was caught up into the seventh heaven, that he had these personal encounters with the Lord, incredible words of insight and mystery that were his experience, so that he wouldn't boast, so that that wouldn't be the thing that would mark and characterize his life. He says he was given this thorn in his flesh. We don't know what that thorn is. There have been dozens and dozens of understandings and interpretations of what that thorn was, from the extreme literalists who've said that it was a physical thorn in his flesh that got infected, through to people who said it was some form of illness, of epilepsy, of headaches, or hearing loss, or a speech impediment. Others have said it was some form of temptation from sexual lusts. We've got all sorts of different people projecting these things onto Paul as to what this thorn was. Whatever it was, he wanted it gone. Whatever it was, it caused him great suffering. And he said he begged the Lord 3 times for it to be gone. Now that's not like a child asking for an ice cream. Please, Lord. Pretty please, Lord. Pretty please with sugar on top. It's the deep, heartfelt longing for this to be gone. 3 times in the Semitic mind is, of course, an expression of fullness, of him begging the Lord again and again and again. The previous part of the passage, he's spoken about events over the last 14 years. That's the time frame of what he has been experiencing. This is the time frame of his desire and his prayer and his heartfelt longing to the Lord to take this away. How many times have we begged the Lord in the same way? How many times have we pleaded with the Lord for whatever it is that's our thorn in the flesh? How many times have we thought, if only that wasn't there, if only that darkness, if only that depression, if only that sadness, if only that illness, if only that sickness, if only that member of my family wasn't like that, if only the people at work weren't like that, if only I could forgive that person who wronged me, if only I... dot, dot, dot. And then the Lord addressed Paul. And then the Lord gave to Paul what I think is one of the deepest insights that we can achieve in the Christian life. If we get this one realization true, then I think we can in fact be named as followers of Jesus. If we understand with Paul that my grace is enough for you, my grace is sufficient. If we begin to realize it's not about what I do, it's not what I achieve, it's not my benefits, it's not the things that I do well, it's not my strengths, it's not because I'm good, it's not because I'm holy, it's not because I come to Mass, it's not because of any of these things that the Lord has favored me. It's because His grace is enough. It's because in my weakness, the Lord can be strong. If we can grasp that, if we can cling to that, if we can find our life in that, then the Lord can do work. Then the Lord can satisfy His desire to fill us, to free us, to bring us life. So let's ponder the thorn that is in our flesh. Let's consider whatever those areas of darkness or suffering or trials or tribulations that are part of our life. And let's rejoice today that the Lord allows us to sit with them, to stay with them. And let's celebrate with Paul the great gift of finding life in that, of finding our strength in our weakness, because it's in that place that God's grace is enough.
In this prison there's a fight between who I am and who I used to be. The thorn in my side is your grace. For because of it, the flesh and blood of God was offered in my place. My